You're listening to the weekly teaching podcast of Willamette Christian Church in Westland, Oregon. We hope that what you hear today inspires you to laugh, question, think, and grow. If you'd like to connect with us even further, hit us up online at willamette.cc or shoot us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. All right, a little enthusiasm this morning. That's good. My name is Grant. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to get to close out the series, Songs in the Key of Life. And the idea behind this series is that many of us, maybe you have an account with Spotify, and so there's different moments that during the day or during the week that you're like, man, what mood am I in? And so you go and you find the playlist that fits the mood that you're feeling, and Spotify even helps you with this. They put in different genres in different moods that you can click on. And we have an entire book in the Bible called the Book of Psalms. And it's a book where whatever you're feeling in life, every emotion that you have, every season that you're going in, there is a song for that. Because music is a way that we can interact with each other, but it's also a way of putting into words and into music things that we're feeling in ways that are unique and that help us in different seasons. And so if you missed one of the weeks, I really want to encourage you to jump online and go listen to the sermons. As we looked in and we said, hey, we can sing songs of thankfulness about what God has done for us. We can sing songs about wisdom in those moments where I'm just not sure that I'm trusting God, and I can cry out to him and say, God, help me to trust you and your wisdom. Or last week, we looked at lament and this idea that even in the hardest, most dark times of your life, you can cry out to God with all of your emotions. You don't have to hide anything from him. You can bring all of your feels to God. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the Psalm of Praise. We're going to be in Psalm 103 this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them up or turn them on, as it were. And as always, the words will be behind me on the screen. But we're looking at this Psalm of Praise, or maybe another way to put that would be a Psalm of Celebration. Because we all really enjoy celebration. We enjoy the party. We enjoy the moment where other people praise us. It's why in elementary school, if you sit through the class and you do a good job and you don't, you know, talk back and you're nice to the person that sits next to you and you're kind to the teacher and your card stays green instead of yellow or red, you get a gold star at the end of the day because we're trying to reinforce the good behavior. This happens as adults as well. We know that study after study after study has shown that the reason people are dissatisfied or that they leave a job has very little to do with the work that they're doing or the money that they make. The number one reason that someone leaves a job is because of a bad supervisor. And bad supervisors are those individuals that often don't notice what you're doing. They don't recognize even the small things. They don't ever praise you for what you're doing. They just come in and say, hey, here's what you're doing wrong. And they're continually trying to make you be better and better, but they're never celebrating in the office the things that you are doing well. And nobody likes to work in that environment. So you go find another job, even sometimes taking a pay cut, because you want to go and be in a place that praises you. Or many of you are like me, you got little kids running around the house. And so there's this moment for us in different seasons, right? When one of my kids is being potty trained and they actually do it correctly. And we throw a party in the house when they do so, because we're going like, here's the Pez dispenser. Here's the candy. We're going to celebrate and clap and applaud because we want to reinforce this good behavior because we are tired of changing diapers, right? We love to celebrate and to praise people. It's why at a sporting event, when your team is down and out or when they're winning, you can't help but celebrate. It's when you go to a concert and the concert has been so great, it's one of your favorite bands, you can't help but at the end, everybody stands there going, encore, 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 and celebrating what you have just seen. And then the band comes out and does the encore, which was a set list that they had already planned to come out and do, which is a weird thing that we do in our culture. Just play your set list. But anyway, like, this is what we do. I remember a concert I went to a while back with my wife and one of my good friends and his spouse, and the four of us were there, and it was a Dave Matthews Band concert. Now, I enjoy Dave Matthews. I think he makes some great music. My friend is a hardcore Dave Matthews fan, and so he goes to every concert that he can, and one of the things that Dave does is you kind of know the set list. They post that, but the encore, you never really know what they're going to do with the encore, and so people that love the band will go to multiple nights because the encore, if they played the song night one, they may not play it night two. You're going to get a different song. And one of my favorite songs that Dave Matthews plays is All Along the Watchtower, their rendition of Bob Dylan's song. I just think it's a great version of that song, but it's one of the songs they save for the encore. And so the entire concert is my friend and I, we're up in the grass section, kind of up in the nosebleeds. We can't even hardly see what Dave looks like on the stage, but we're enjoying the concert all the same, and the encore begins. And they're playing a couple of songs, and he knew this was my favorite song. And all of a sudden, the stage kind of gets quiet. There's a little music underneath, and that's when Dave leans into the mic, and he goes, "No reason to get excited, bop!" That's All Along the Watchtower. And in that moment, my friend, because he knows me well, we've been friends since kindergarten, we looked at each other, and we grabbed arms, and we went, like little schoolgirls, because we couldn't help but celebrate what we were about to witness. Finally, I was there. I was going to get to see it. That is the celebration, this feeling that comes over that we love to do. And that's not new. It's been a part of the human experience since we were created. If you look at the story of Israel, which a lot of the Old Testament is the history of the Israelites, when you get into the book of Exodus, there's this moment where they've been slaves in the land of Egypt, and a guy named Moses is called by God to go and rescue them. And as God rescues them from slavery, they come out of that, and the Red Sea is in front of them, and the nation of Egypt is coming behind them to destroy them. And God parts the Red Sea. They go through it, get on the other side, turn around. They see the enemy come into the sea, and God swallows them up, and they have been rescued. And it's there in Exodus chapter 15 that they break out in song. And at the end of that, there's a young lady named Miriam, and here's what it says.
A girl is a young female human, usually a child or an adolescent.
In case you didn't know what a girl was, Siri just told me. She's a young female human. Guys, you can't plan this stuff. Hey, Garrett, let's cut that from the recording later on. That has never happened. That's awesome. Siri, shh. Now I feel like I have to whisper. She's listening. So here's what it says in Exodus chapter 15. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a hand drum in her hand, and all of the women went out after her with hand drums and with dances. Miriam sang in response to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." You see, Miriam here is celebrating what God has done. She's saying, "I understand that God has rescued us, and so we are going to sing and to celebrate." Just a few books later in the Old Testament, you get to the book of Judges. The book of Judges is the story of Israel where they don't yet have a king, and they cry out to God to deliver them and to rescue them. And so God raises up different judges. And the mistake that Israel makes is they put all of their hope in that judge. They think that that judge is going to be their savior, but every single one of them is a broken savior. And so they help them for a season, but they eventually fail them. And one of them is a gal named Deborah. I'm not going to get much into her story because next week we're starting a brand new series called Broken Saviors, where we're going to go through the book of Judges and look at these different judges. And so I want to encourage you to come back next week as we start that new series. And partway through, we're going to look at Deborah. There's this moment where Deborah, she's actually a warrior, and they defeat their enemy by her leading the army. And she breaks out in song at the end of it in celebration of what God has done. And then in the book of 2 Samuel, there's this king named David. He's actually the author of Psalm 103 that we're going to look at this morning. And David in 2 Samuel, there's this thing called the Ark of the Covenant. It's where God dwells. And they go and they find the Ark of the Covenant. They had lost it in a battle, and they get it back. And the Levites, they pick it up on the poles, and they take 6 steps. And then they stop, and they celebrate and praise God for all that he has done. And then in Israelite tradition, they have a minimum of 6 festivals. That every single year as the calendar goes, they come back around and they stop and they celebrate all that God has done, all that God will do, and who God is. You see, for the Israelite people, celebration and praise was a part of who they were. And I love the festivals because at any given time during the year, you were to stop and to celebrate, even though personally you might be going through something difficult. Corporately, we're going to praise together. We're going to remember who God is. And it's no coincidence, I don't think, that Jesus Christ in the New Testament, his first miracle is at a wedding, but it's not just during the ceremony, it's at the after party. It's at the reception afterward is where Jesus chooses to step in and make himself known to the entire world. You see, all throughout scripture, we see that God loves the celebration. And so each of us is invited to celebrate who God is and what he has done. And David this morning is going to lead us and teach us a few things of what it looks like to celebrate God. And so what I want to do is I want to actually read the entire chapter this morning. I want to read it so we get the context of it. We won't have time to go back and hit every single verse, but I want us to get the gist of what's happening. So Psalm chapter 103 says this. Praise the Lord, O my soul. With all that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget all of his kind deeds. He is the one who forgives all of your sins, who heals all of your diseases, who delivers your life from the pit, who crowns you with his loyal love and compassion, who satisfies your life with good things. So your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord does what is fair and executes justice for all the oppressed. The Lord revealed his faithful acts to Moses. His deeds to the Israelites. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. He is patient. He demonstrates his great loyal love. He does not always accuse and does not stay angry. He does not deal with us as our sin deserves. He does not repay us as our misdeeds deserve. For as the skies are high above the earth, so his loyal love towers over his faithful followers. As far as the eastern horizon is from the west, he removes the guilt of our rebellious actions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on his faithful followers. For he knows what we are made of. He realizes that we are made of clay. A person's life is like grass, like a flower in the field, it flourishes. But when the hot wind blows by, it disappears. And one can no longer even spot the place where it once grew. But the Lord continually shows loyal love to his faithful followers, is faithful to their descendants, to those who keep his covenant, who are careful to obey his commands. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom extends over everything. So praise the Lord, you angels of his, you powerful warriors who carry out his decrees and obey his orders. Praise the Lord, all of you warriors of his, you servants of his who carry out his desires. Praise the Lord, all that he has made in all the regions of his kingdom. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You see, David gives us a psalm of praise. And we don't understand, or we don't rather know everything that is happening that leads David to write this down and to give us this song. But what we do know is we see him overflowing with praise to a good God. And that's actually where he begins in verse 1. If you look back at that, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me, praise the Lord. Maybe you've had that moment where you're at some event and you can't help but have all that is within you come out in praise. David, in this moment, it's a moment of euphoria. Things are just, it's just boiling up inside of him. He just begins to see who God is, and he can't help but just come out in song and say, yes, God, we want to celebrate you and praise you. It's that moment at the sporting event when your team is down and out, or they're about to go into overtime, and someone makes the last shot and they win, and you can't help but stand up and cheer. It just comes out of you. It's what happens. It's the moment in the waiting room when everybody is there on pins and needles, and all of a sudden the husband comes out and he tells everyone in the waiting room, the baby is here, it's a girl, it's a boy, and everybody just can't help but cheer in the waiting room with excitement of the news that they've been waiting for. It's the moment on the beach where you see the whale spout in the distance and you can't help but look for more because all that is within you wants to see the whale. It's the reason that we watch reality talent shows. Right? Because you're sitting at home and you're watching these individuals do amazing things, and you get caught up in the moment. I don't watch a lot of reality TV, but this last week I saw a clip from this current season of America's Got Talent. There's a moment in that episode where this young man, 22 years old, named Cody Lee, walks out on the stage. Cody Lee is blind and has autism. He walks out there with his mom, and he can interact with the judges a little bit, but his mom does most of it for him. And they find out what he's going to do, and then Cody Lee goes, and he sits down behind a piano. And all of a sudden, he begins to play and to sing, and you would have no idea that he is blind or autistic. He's an amazing musician. And you watch as everybody in the room goes quiet. And then they start to get caught up in the moment. And the oohs and the ahs begin to go, and they keep leaning further and further in. And then Cody finishes, and the entire room erupts with applause and praise while simultaneously crying, and me sitting in front of my computer doing the same thing. And we're all just sitting there caught in the moment praising, and the judges, even Simon, are flabbergasted at what they have just seen. And one of the judges hits the golden button, which means he goes straight to the live shows. You see, it's why we watch the shows, is because we're longing and looking for these moments in life to celebrate something that is bigger and that is better than us. And for Cody, this young man in that moment, he is set apart as different. You see, all that is within David rejoices because he understands that God is holy. That's what holy means. Holy means to be set apart, to be different. But God isn't just set apart. He is uniquely set apart. He is the Holy One of the Holy Ones. And so we have every reason in the world to celebrate and to praise and to sing out in song and to live our lives in a way, in a posture of celebration to God because of what he has done and who he is. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But you see, David moves on. And in verse 2, what he's going to show us is that we celebrate because God has rescued us from something. You see, in the same way that the Israelites were rescued from the slavery in Egypt, God has come and rescued every single one of us. Jesus is not afraid of our mess. Jesus is not afraid of the place that we find ourselves in rebellion against God and wanting nothing to do with him. Jesus looks at us and he says, no, I can rescue you from that. If you look at verse 2, here's what it says. So praise the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget all of his kind deeds. He is the one who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who delivers your life from the pit. You see, Jesus came and fulfilled this psalm. Jesus came in and we don't forget his kind deeds because he is the one who forgives us our sins. This sin, this thing that I do when I look at God and say, God, I don't really need you right now. I think I want to do it on my own. I think I've got more wisdom than you. I can figure it out. So God, you just kind of stay over there and let me do it. This rebellion against him, Jesus came in to our life and he says, hey, I forgive you for that. He heals you of the disease. Maybe it's physical, but maybe it's just emotional or mental disease. And Jesus can step in and through the Holy Spirit begin to heal you and to begin to change you. God steps in and does those things. Not only does he step into your life, but Jesus came in and he didn't just say, I'm not afraid of your mess. He goes, I'm going to become a part of the mess. I'm not going to consider equality with God something to hold on to. I'm going to humble myself and become human and go to the cross and have all of the messiness of the world, the sins and the rebellion and the disease, all of that is going to come on me so that I can beat it in my resurrection. You see, Jesus comes in and he rescues us from something. He rescues us from our rebellion against him. But then at the end of this part of verse 4, it says that he rescues us from the pit, which is a little bit unique. Like what pit? Is this just any given pit in life? And if you noticed in that text, it's capitalized. So this is a proper noun. It's some sort of specific pit that is going on. Well, the pit here, it's what the Israelites would have understood to be Sheol, or what later on was called hell. And in the concept, the idea came that outside of the city of Jerusalem, there was a fire pit where they would go and all of their trash, they would take out there to be burned. See, before we could send all of our recycling to China, we just took it outside the city and burned it. And so they would go and they would take it outside and they would burn it. And this pit, Sheol, this hell became a metaphor for what happens for everyone that rebels against God. And they were going, listen, you are destined for a destruction that you are headed to, but God can come and rescue you from that. Maybe to help us understand this type of rescuing, and maybe there was this movie that maybe you saw it this last summer, Toy Story 4. Right, and in Toy Story 4, there's this character named Forky. And now Forky, he's almost exactly what you think he is. He's a spork. And you know, a spork, they're made for certain things. But one day at preschool, this little girl named Bonnie takes Forky. And she pulls Forky out of the trash heap. And she makes Forky a toy. But Forky has a hard time believing that he's been rescued. In fact, look at this clip where he begins to discover it.
Everyone, I want you to meet Forky.
Golly, Bob Half.
Look how long his arms are.
Trash? No. Toys. They're all toys.
Trash.
No. That's the trash. These are your friends.
Hello. Hi.
Trash.
Shh, no, it's okay.
Trash.
Woody, I have a question. Actually, not just one. I have all of them. Trash. I have all the questions.
Why does he want to go to the trash?
Because he was made from trash.
Trash.
Look, I know this is a little strange, but you got to trust me on this.
Trash.
Forky is the most important toy to Bonnie right now.
If you've seen the movie, then you know that really the premise of it is Forky, for the rest of the movie, keeps trying to throw himself back into the trash. And Woody is trying to keep him from going in the trash. There's even a montage where they show it, and there's a song that's titled, I Can't Let You Throw Yourself Away. And I love that because I see that and I read scripture and I go, that's Jesus. And Woody is Jesus, okay? Like he's going, listen, I can't let you throw yourself away. I'm going to come and rescue you. But we don't live into our new identity. We don't say, yeah, we've been rescued from the trash. We keep going, no, I'm just trash. I'm just trash. And so no wonder we don't understand that we can celebrate. We don't understand that Jesus has rescued us from something. In fact, there's even a spot where Forky looks at Woody and he goes, I'm not a toy. I was made for soup or salad, maybe chili, and then the trash. He goes, this was my destiny. I was going to the pit. I was headed to Sheol, the trash heap outside the city. And Woody is trying to convince him, no, Bonnie sees value and worth in you, and so you are not trash, you're a toy. See, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have every reason in the world to celebrate because you've been rescued from something. But God didn't just rescue us from something. He rescued us to something. See, it would have been enough if Jesus had rescued us from, but Jesus comes in and rescues us to something. And that's actually where David continues on here. Who crowns you with his loyal love and compassion, who satisfies your life with good things so that your youth is renewed like that of an eagle's. He goes, God has stepped in and he has rescued you and he crowns you with his loyal love. God loves you so much that he gives you the crown of his love. See, this is a concept we see in the Old Testament, but the New Testament picks up on it. There's a man named Paul. He's a great church planner. And Paul understands what it means to be rescued from something because there was a point in his life where he was a mass murderer. But God radically transformed him and met him and changed his life so much so that he becomes this amazing church planner. And Paul is writing a letter back to one of those churches in the region of Galatia. That's where modern-day Turkey is. And as Paul is writing this, he's going to use a metaphor with them of a son growing up as a minor in the household under his father. And as you would grow up as a son or a daughter in the household of your father, when you were a minor, you were really sort of given the same rights as all the slaves and the servants in the household. But when you came into adulthood, you were then given all of the rights as a full son of the father of that house. And Paul says that those that have trusted in Jesus, we have been adopted into the household of God. And so here's what he says in Galatians chapter 4. So also we, when we were minors, we were enslaved under the basic forces of the world. But when the appropriate time had come, God sent out his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we may be adopted as sons with full rights. And because of this, you are sons. God sent the spirit of his son into your heart, who calls Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you are a son, then you are also an heir through God. See, what Paul does is he picks up where the psalm left off and he goes, you have been given a crown. That if you have trusted in Jesus, you have been rescued from the trash heap. And now you stand in God's presence as a king and queen of the Most High God. He has given you a crown. You have full rights to his throne. You are a co-heir with Christ. The Spirit dwells in you and cries out, all that is within me cries out, Abba, Father, because I understand that I have full rights as a son. And when you understand that, you begin to stand tall. And in the seasons of doubt, in the seasons of disbelief, in the seasons of difficulty, you can still step back and praise God because you know he's rescued you from something and to something that you never could have done on your own. and never earn the right to become royalty in God's kingdom. It's a gift that is given to me. So I have every reason in the world to celebrate because God has made me a son in his kingdom. And as a good father, he loves to give us good gifts. So what verse 5 says, who satisfies your life with good things so your youth is renewed like an eagle's. David goes, listen, every good thing that you have, everything that you have in your life that satisfies you, it's a gift from God. And so, yes, you can enjoy life. You don't have to say no to the things that give you pleasure. You just, as you're enjoying them, you find pleasure in them and let that be the cause and the reason that you celebrate. That be the reason that you cry out to God, not because you're trying to find your youth again in that thing, but you're finding the celebration in the fact that God has given that to you to enjoy. He then uses the metaphor of an eagle here. And he goes, listen, there's this thing that happens with eagles where a young eagle, it's got its wings and the wings are there to guard it and protect it, to keep it safe, to allow it to be an eagle. But from time to time, as it's taking off from a tree, its wings get maybe plucked out or they get scratched or broken. Maybe it gets into a fight with another animal or another bird over some prey. And so from time to time, a young eagle needs to molt its feathers off in order to grow new ones. But when an eagle is in the molting process, it's in its most vulnerable state. But the eagle knows it needs to go through that in order to get on the other side and to feel young again. You see, when we go through those seasons of lament like we talked about last week, we can be honest and cry out to God, but then we trust that on the other side of it, we have new wings. We can celebrate again. And now we look at the gifts of life that God has given us, not as something to be satisfied in, but to see that God loves us by giving those to us. And so I can go and say, listen, I don't need the new car or a new bar or a bigger house or a new spouse in order to feel young and satisfied again. Instead, what I can do is say, God, the gifts that you have already given me, the things that I have, I want to celebrate that in you. And so, God, those are even a reason to celebrate. So all the things that I have that are gifts, God, let me celebrate you. And then David says, we celebrate because of who God is. If you remember the Psalm of Thanksgiving, this is the same place that David landed in there. That we celebrate God because of who he is. Look again with me at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. He is patient and demonstrates great loyal love. He does not always accuse. He does not stay angry. He does not deal with us as our sin deserves. He does not repay us as our misdeeds deserve. For as the skies are high above the earth, so his loyal love towers over his faithful followers. As far as the eastern horizon is from the west, so he removes the guilt of our rebellious actions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on his faithful followers. Did you notice all the characteristics that were given and how God is described there? As David recounts, he goes, let me tell you who God is. God is compassionate and merciful and patient and kind and loyal and loving and not vindictive. He doesn't hold a grudge. God is forgiving. He just gives us all these characteristics of God because that is who God is. You see, when we begin to understand that God is full of love and mercy and grace, that that's who he is, that he extends it freely to us, we celebrate him for who he is, not for the way he reacts. See, when I have the opportunity to officiate weddings, one of the things that I like to point out is the fact that you and I are reactionary people. Because I'm a human being, that I have to react, and so I choose to react in love. I choose to react in compassion. I choose to react in mercy and grace and caring and forgiveness. Those are choices that I make to react to you in that way. Yes, 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 because of the Holy Spirit in me, I react more that way today than I did a few years ago because I'm becoming more and more of that, but it's not yet all of who I am. I still have to choose to react. God doesn't choose to react in those ways. So when I go to God, when I messed up again, and I go, God, would you forgive me? He goes, done. God, I need some more of your grace. You've already got it. God, would you give me more mercy? I have more of that than I could give you. God, would you love me? Love you. I came and I died for you. That is who I am. It's my essence. It's my being. So here, it's you. It's for you. Come and enjoy and celebrate. You don't have to earn it. It's a free gift to you. And that makes me cause to celebrate. Because I go, God, I understand who you are and your essence and your being. And so thank you for that. I mean, if we took those characteristics of love and compassion and grace and mercy, and your spouse was to just have those things, that's who they were, they didn't have to choose, you would like your spouse a whole lot more. Right? If you had a coworker that that's just the way that they were just full of compassion and mercy and grace and forgiveness for you, you would all of a sudden be like, I really like working with this person. I want to be around them. Not only that, you would tell other people about that person. Because you would go, other people need to know them. You see, when God is that way, when that's who he is, I can't help but say, God, I love you. So I want to rejoice and sing and shout and all that is within me praise you for who you are. But I know in different movements and flows of life, sometimes that's easier to do than others. And so this morning, I just want to give us three things to remember that help us to take a posture of celebration. The first of which, you need to remember, you are no longer trash. Like, this is such a simple thing, but sometimes it's profound for us to remember. Because there's those moments where we feel like trash. We've screwed up again, and we go, yep, see, I'm just trash. And God's stepping in, and he's going, no, you are no longer trash. I have rescued you from the trash heap, and I have given you a crown. So stand tall, live in to that identity. I have rescued you. You are no longer trash. Quit living in to that. Quit acting like you are. Celebrate the fact that you are not. It would have been as if at the Dave Matthews concert, I'm in the grass up in the nosebleed section, and they play my favorite song. But all of a sudden, what happens is somebody comes to me and goes, hey, no, get out of the nosebleed section. Come on the stage. You're now a part of the band with all the rights of the band. You're here. Just get the instrument. Just act like you know what you're doing. We're going to pay you as if you're on the album. Like, come and celebrate. You're no longer in the nosebleeds. You are now a part of the band. It's as if this moment where I got pulled out of the trash and God goes and he goes, hey, I'm going to write my name on the bottom of your foot or on your heart, as it were, because you are no longer trash. And when I can remember that, I can find a reason to celebrate no matter what's going on. You see, you're no longer trash. When I live into that, then I see that I don't need to wait to celebrate. See, I think what most of us do is we're looking around waiting for a reason to celebrate. We get the gift card from someone to the really nice restaurant, and we hold on to it till we have a special occasion to use it. When's the special date night? When's the anniversary? When am I in the doghouse and need to have the special date? Like, right? We look and we wait for the special occasion to use the gift card. We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that because we don't need to wait to celebrate. We have been rescued by a God that loves us. I'll never forget a professor of mine telling the story of his family. My professor had a little sister, and she was in her 20s or 30s. She died all of a sudden. And a few weeks after the funeral, he was over at his brother-in-law's house just helping him go through the effects and try to figure things out as his brother-in-law was moving through his grief. And there was a moment when they were going through the things there at his brother-in-law's house that my professor found kind of tucked away and hidden, this bottle of wine, and he pulls it out and he walks into his brother-in-law and he says, hey, what is this? What do you want me to do with it? And brother-in-law takes the bottle and he slams it down on the counter as he just begins to weep. And the way my professor told us that, he said, hey, what's going on? What is this? And he said, that was an expensive special bottle of wine that we bought at a time when we couldn't afford it. But we bought it because we were going to hold on to it and wait for a moment to celebrate. And he goes, but now I'll never get to open that with her. And then he took it and he handed it to my professor and he said, go home to your wife and your kids and celebrate. Don't wait. We are not promised tomorrow. You see, if you're a follower of Jesus here, then you have every reason in the world to celebrate every moment of every day. So why are we waiting? Why are we waiting for the special occasion? Let's just open up the bottle and celebrate and throw the party and say, we have a God that loves us and that cares for us and has rescued us from something and to something, and he is good. And so we can celebrate. So let's stop waiting. Let's just throw the party all the time. Let's just have fun. We have more reason to have joy in this world than anybody else when we understand what God has done for us. And so let's not wait to celebrate. And part of the reason we need to not wait to celebrate is there's already a party going on, so join the party, y'all. Like there's a party already happening, and you're invited. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're already a part of the party. And so let's jump in. Let's join in. The scripture would say that all of creation is crying out to God. This is where David ends the psalm. Look at verse 22. So praise the Lord, all that he has made. In all the regions of his kingdom, praise the Lord, oh my soul. He goes, hey, listen, I don't know if you know this, but praise the Lord, all that he has made. All of creation is crying out and thanking the creator and praising him. And then he goes, and in all of the regions. That means that here in West Lynn and in Tualatin and Tigard and Wilsonville and Milwaukee and Canby and Beaverton and as far away as Hillsboro, we can all just scream and shout and praise because there's a party happening around here and in Oregon and all around the world. There's a party that is going on, and so we need to join in on the party. You see, when you join in on the party, it means that even when you don't feel like celebrating, you can see other people doing it, and you can celebrate with them. You don't have to understand everything that's going on to be able to join in on the party. When I was in college, I had a roommate named Thomas, and Thomas was from Zimbabwe. His big brother, Tatendo, was a friend of mine. And one of the things that I learned as being friends with him is that Zimbabweans know how to party. They know how to have a good time. And inevitably, during a certain time of the year, on Saturday mornings, anywhere between like 4 a.m. and 8 a.m., there would be a party going on in my living room in my apartment. Now, I don't know about your experience in college, but 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. is not when I was partying, okay? That's when I was wanting to sleep in on a Saturday morning. But the reason Tatenda and Thomas would be celebrating is because they were downstairs in our living room watching the Arsenal Football Club. They were down there watching their team play soccer and enjoy it. And when they scored, they were running around the living room celebrating what had happened. And when the ref made a bad call, they were, no, no, and yelling at the TV and celebrating that the ref was wrong. And so they just went nuts. And sometimes I could sleep through it, but other times I couldn't. And so I'd peel myself off of the bed and I'd go downstairs and I would join in on their party. And you know what? At the time, I didn't know anything about soccer. As they would often correct me, it's called football. You see, the rest of the world is having a party around the sport that the American culture has been left out of for a really long time. There was a party going on, I just didn't know about it. And yet these guys invited me in to their party. I didn't have to understand the rules. I didn't have to know what offsides were. I didn't have to know why does the clock stop, but there's extra time and there's no timeouts. I didn't have to understand any, there's a point system. What do you mean you can tie and still win? That doesn't make sense. I didn't need to know any of that because they were there celebrating and I just got to join in with them. And I got caught up in the moment. You see, if you're a follower of Jesus in the room, there's a party going on. And so let's get caught up in it. Let's encourage one another to celebrate. Let's see where God is moving in their life and celebrate with them. Let's applaud people. Let's celebrate with them. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I just really want you to know you're invited. The table is set, the party is going on, and the doors are open to anyone that would say yes to Jesus. All it takes is this moment where you say, God, I believe that you are who you say you are. I have got all the questions in the world. I don't understand everything yet, but God, I believe that I can grow in my understanding. I'm just going to start by saying yes. And so would you join the party? Jesus is risen from the dead. We have every reason in the world to celebrate and to praise him for who he is and what he has done.